So the original Musar movement was driven by Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter lived in the early part of the 18th century. And the premise of Musar was that the world is a very dark place, and it's full of futility and defeat, and it's transitory and fleeting, and is meaningless and empty. And try to avoid it as much as possible and escape with your integrity intact. It's a maze, and only Chachamim have the answer to that maze. So follow them blindly and disengage from the world as much as possible. That's a very powerful statement, but not everyone lives their life that way. And obviously life is lived as a very delicate balance between engagement and disengagement, seeing the world as potential and seeing the world as defeat. So there was a backlash to that Musar movement. And the backlash was led by the Slabodka Yeshiva. In the Slabodka Yeshiva, the world was not full of darkness, but full of light. Man wasn't futile, but was full of potential. And he was a prince at the top of the cosmos. And the challenge was to realize how much Hashem had gifted you with, and to exploit and to employ all those opportunities. So just to help you crystallize the difference, if, let's say, for argument's sake, an attractive woman walks down the street and a man feels a desire, so in classic Musar, the response is, oh, that woman, one day she'll be dust and worms, rima v'tolea, why should I even be attracted to such beauty? Whereas in Slabodka Musar, the response was, oh, she's beautiful, but I'm a prince. Because I'm a prince, Hashem has expectations of me. So I'm not going to compromise and forfeit all those opportunities just for a woman who's beautiful, or anything else. You can extrapolate, because Hashem expects so much of me. So that's why I think Slabodka Musar is very important for people like yourselves to read, because most of us live in the Slabodka world. To read the Maseilas Yesharim, which was written well before the Musar movement, but was adopted as the classic Musar Sefer, about a world that's dark and empty and futile, and then get into your SUV and pick up your Android phone and go watch the Mets game and go eat in a restaurant. It's very bifurcating, because it's not the world we live in. If you move to Mea Shearim, so then the Maseilas Yesharim should be your primary work. I think that for people like yourselves that live in this world, it's important to have a balance. You should read the Maseilas Yesharim just to prevent, again, overindulgence. We should be exposed to Slabodka Musar, because that may resonate more deeply with the type of lives you lead. And anything that's attached to your life becomes more holistic and organic and spreads through your whole life. So for the month of Elul, we're going to study some Musar about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur through Slabodka lenses. Now, the altar of Slabodka of Nesan Tzvi Finkel, he was the mashgiach / dean of the yeshiva. He created, through personal cultivation, many of the gedolim that changed Torah in the post-world era. Rav Huttner, Rav Ruderman, anyone who was anyone through Rav Shaldi, people went through Slabodka. These were the very famous, almost gadol-making factory. And, of course, many who perished in the Holocaust. Now, he didn't print any of his shiurim, here Nachum, he didn't print any of his shiurim. These were all written posthumously, his sichot. But let's get right into it, because this is a very characteristic piece. Ein l'tayer. The beginning, I'll just read a couple lines with you, just to give you the spirit. Top first line. Ein l'tayer becheret enosh. You can't describe through human pen, erech rega chad shel chaya ben adam, even 1 minute of human life. Human life is so full of potential and so surpassing. Kama, line number two, hu yachol la'sos v'lefol berega chad b'chayav. How much a person can accomplish in 1 second. Now, to help establish this, l'fnei she'yatzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam HaRishon, line number three, Hashem, before Hashem created man, hechin b'shvila olam gadol, hechin b'shvila, man is at the top of the pinnacle, man is the apogee, man is the top of the pyramid, the entire world was created for man. Samchim, line number four, plants, balei chayim, animals. Line number six, Shemesh, Yareach, not just as the world that we know, the terrestrial world, but the extraterrestrial world, cosmic. The entire cosmos is conditioned upon your behavior, because you're at the top, you're the apogee. Why? V'hitzigu l'fnei malachim, the last line of that paragraph, Hashem was so proud of his creation that he turned to the malachim, very famous statement, and he said, Ru'u beria shibarasi ba'olam, look at man, such magnificence. This is my masterpiece, told the malachim. Look and be awed. Even though we see the malachim is superior to man, in Slabodka Musar, man is superior to malachim. Because of that potential to make decisions. Okay, now, all of this setup was momentary. Anyone know how many hours elapsed between man's entry into Gan Eden and man's original sin? 2 hours. This entire song and dance, this entire buffet of nature and cosmos for 2 hours. In the 9th hour, he entered paradise. In the 11th hour, he already sinned. So this entire tralala for 2 hours. So here's the punchline. Four lines from the bottom of the second paragraph. Hare kama erech yesh l'sha'a achas shel chayav ben adam. Hashem creates an entire cosmos for 2 hours of human experience. What could you possibly accomplish in 2 hours? The answer? V'lama, three lines in the bottom. Neshe yesh b'adam koach habechira lipchar b'tov v'bara. Hashem gave you a gift that no other creature was given. Choice. Free will. Don't ruin it. That's a divine gift. Of course it's a pretty woman. Of course money. Of course food. They're all wonderful opportunities. But you were given so much, the entire world could collapse if you make the wrong choice. First line of the last paragraph, Yesh l'arech chaye kol adam me'adam b'chol adaros. This is an important theme in Sabbat Kamosar. Whatever Adam Arishon experienced, whatever characterized original man, you still possess. Even though we're fallen, even though it's post-sin, you could say we're a different gene, we're a different species. No. Whatever we study about Adam, the conditions change. But the fundamental essence of who you are as a person, you're just like Adam Arishon. And the whole world was created for you, and for you, and for every person has to walk and feel like Adam Arishon, b'shvili nivra olam. And then what he does to try to dramatize the point, as I find this one medrash, he read midrashim and gemaras very, very carefully, and he built scale. He was very into scale and numbers, and if even a small factor warrants a certain reality, then I can multiply and exponentially grow that factor and show you how important it is. So this is such an example. There's a pasuk from Iyov, which we recite once in Yom Kippur. We say it here and there in Slichos. Let's read it together. Line number 2, paragraph on the bottom. Yesh alav malach militz echad, melitz echad mini alef. If there is one malach, even one out of 1,000, lahagil li'adam yashro, to tell people about their integrity, vayichunenu, vayyamir pide'el miredeshachas. That one malach defends you against hell, against descending into inferno. It's perfect. It's a pasuk in Iyov, very philosophical pasuk. The Gemara basically darshins this, that even if 999 prosecutors, they could be actual malachim, they could be 999 reasons you should be prosecuted, if they're opposed by one defending malach, or one virtuous trait that you possess, that's enough to save you from perfidy. So even if it's stacked against you, your potential, even one against 1,000, one in 1,000, would be sufficient to prevent you from perfidy, from destruction. That's a simple reading of the Gemara and Shabbos. But Eliezer says, and I'll just read this very quickly, second page, Afilu Cham Meos V'Tishim V'Tisha Be'osa Malach L'Chov V'Echad L'Schos. Not 999 Malachim versus the one. But even if in each Malach has 999 reasons to indict you, and there's only one, all the Malachim, and only one out of 1,000 Malachim, he also has 999 reasons to indict you, but only one reason to defend you and acquit you. So can anyone tell me the math? What does that mean? If there's only one reason or one cause in how many against how many reasons to indict you? What? One against a million. 1,000. 1,000 malachim. Each malach wants to indict. And even the defending malach, he has 999. It's basically a million to one. So basically, there are a million to one reasons that you shouldn't live, but there's one small possibility that you'll change this world, and you'll meet that potential, and you'll actualize that virtue, then it's worthwhile to let you live and see if that can come to fruition. That's how much trust and belief Hashem has in human capacity to change this world. So even if you're down on yourself, and you failed 999,000 times, but you've got that potential to make that change, it's one in a million, the world will be created for you. And even if you have only 2 hours to do it, the other one lives 2 hours. That's what I mean about scale. So never give up on yourself, and never give up on human potential, even if it seems so unlikely it's a million to one, and you only have 2 hours or 2 minutes. Last paragraph. V'hinei osam ha-malachim, the malachim, av sheyodim chomer chet. The middle paragraph I skipped to talk about how the malachim understand the severity of chet. They experience Yom Kippur. We'll read about it in the sign of Tokeh. They know what chet is. They're not above it. It's not like they're deluded. They know what consequences. They know what accountability is. Becholz us. Line number 2. Ma'arichin l'umazeh. They appreciate chayei adam, human life. Shebeglal eizah nekuda chiyuvit. Even a small little character possibility. They say, let's save this person and not send him to Gehenna and not send him to death because you're human. You have that potential. Hashem creates the world for you. Don't blow. Understand the potential Hashem vested in you and actualize it. So this is a great way to begin Chodesh Elul to help you appreciate an entirely different voice of Musa, which you may not have been exposed to. This is a piece called Erech HaAdam, the value of a human being. Okay, so every day, not Wednesday and Friday, you're all invited to just come, leave your tefillin on. So I think it's nice to have a little bit of learning with the tefillin on, just to, you know, connect that Torah and tefillin. This week's parsha, I'll talk about it tomorrow night. Separate units. Have a great day, everyone. Okay. For boys and